Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Waleed with the How to Photograph Quick podcast, episode number 41. And if you have held a camera for more than 6 months, I'm willing to bet that you have been asked the question, could you just? And then fill in the blank for whatever they have asked of you last minute. Now, small changes don't matter. Hey, could you put a period at the end of this sentence, or could you replace this one word with that one? Fine, we make a lot of last minute changes like that. But I find that a lot of the could you just requests are things that cost a lot of time and a lot of resources. So it used to really, really infuriate me, and to the point of I felt like erupting. And I want to say that even a couple times earlier in my career, I did. So it wasn't the best turnout whatsoever. But I used to think that when people would say you have to manage client expectations or manage your clients, I used to think that that was something manipulative. And so I didn't want to have any part in it. I always want to do business in the most honest way, and I want to be clear and concise with everybody. So when you say manage the client, I always thought that was something manipulative. Well, guess what? It's not. In fact, it's something that is a favor to them, and it's a favor to you or to whoever the creative is. Managing the expectations, all that means pretty much is telling them within these boundaries is what your product is going to be. Within these boundaries is what our budget is. Within these boundaries is what our creative zone is. And so when you are laying boundaries for people, you're actually doing them a favor and not limiting them, limiting them of happiness and creativity. You are saying, here are our boundaries. Let's have the conversation within these four corners and everything will be good. Let's all play by the same rules and play on the same field. So once I realized that, I was able to be open-minded about my approach to how I ask clients to handle a situation and how I manage them. So moving forward, what I started doing was laying boundaries for my clients. And that's what I mean by client expectations and managing them. I'm actually setting up my clients for success by doing this. So if you are a person that thought just like me, oh my God, now I have to play manipulator. No, it's not that at all. You're actually giving them more rules, which means they have more tools to make efficient decisions. That's just going to be for the benefit of everyone involved. All right. So when somebody says, could you just, I realized point one, I'm going to have 3 points for you guys here today. Really important. Point number one, it meant they don't understand what I do. When someone says, could you just, I haven't done my job in educating the client. So it all comes down to me. And when I can accept accountability, then I can also accept all of the praise for the good work done too, right? So we have to accept accountability for the bad also. So when a client says, could you just, that means I haven't educated them on the amount of time that it takes to retouch a picture, to upload files again, to, play with the color schemes again. I mean, there could be a number of reasons or examples of what I'm talking about. So when they say, can you just, it really now says to me, I haven't done my job as a creator in educating my clients. What do I do now? So how do I fix this? Moving forward, what am I supposed to do? Well, I'll tell you what I do. And this has worked out really, really good for me. So if you are taking notes, this is an area you're going to take a note on. First, I have to take a sip of my tea, so excuse me. You may hear that, but here's what I'm doing is that my podcasts, I'm no longer editing them. I'm keeping them raw because I want you to understand. I just want to have this clear connection with you, and I don't want to come across as perfect. So you are going to hear some of the room noises and all of that. So just a side note. Going back to not educating them and how I do that now. So here's what I do. If we are just talking about post-production, retouching a picture, I make sure that in my deal memo, that is listed. And it's not listed so blatantly in a primary way. It's right there in fine print, but more as backup information. So what do I mean by that? The first thing I do in my deal memos is I tell them how many pictures they're getting for the negotiated price. I tell them the rights and usage they are getting. All right. And then I tell them the amount of editing they are getting. That is key, you guys. If you tell them the amount of editing you're getting, you're going to cut out 50% of your grievances right now, just by doing that. All right, so let Mama say that one more time. If you can tell your clients up front, before you ever pick up the camera, how many rounds of retouching they're getting, you are gonna cut your grief by about 50%. All right, so what do I mean by that? So when I give them a deal memo and I say, all right, you're getting, I'm just gonna make this up, you are getting 8 pictures. These pictures will have commercial usage, merchandise usage, and promotional usage, promo rights. Now my client doesn't have to guess. They don't have to tiptoe. They don't have to feel awkward about asking any questions. I just told them how they can use those pictures for promotional, anything that they want to do to promote this project, for commercial, so they could slap that image onto a record cover, or for merchandise. If they go on tour, they can make t-shirts out of my photographs. Now, of course, I've negotiated for this and they're paying for these services, but I list it out for them and then I spell it out to them. This is what you can do, for example. Here's what you cannot do. This is how many years you have these rights, and then we have to renegotiate. So I lay all of these boundaries, and you know what I'm doing? I'm taking away a lot of frustration on their end, and I'm giving them boundaries. These are the four corners. Within these four corners is everything you can do. To me now, that sounds like I'm doing them a favor. That sounds like I'm saving them a lot of guessing work, right? So once I started thinking of it this way, it just made it so clear for me. Now, the second part is, I also do that for the rounds of editing. If you're wondering if I was going to discuss that. So I always say, you get, for example, I will say you get 8 pictures. And then I actually take it a step further and I say, retouching takes between 2 to 4 hours on average per picture. You are getting 2 rounds of editing. And that is it. And then additional rounds are billed as blah, 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 whatever hourly price I give them. So they now know that they are getting 2 rounds of retouching. What does this mean? This helps them become a better client. And how? I'll tell you exactly how. I don't know why I said how 3 times, but how can they become a better client? Here's how they can become a better client. Knowing they have 2 rounds of retouching, what they're gonna do is take the images around their office and collect all of the notes first before they bring it back to me. That's amazing. So what they're not going to do is send it to one person, get notes, I retouch it. Then another person says, oh, can you also do this? Then I retouch it. Then another person says, oh, can you also do that? Then I retouch it. You see how that can set you up for failure and frustration? When I tell them you get 2 rounds of retouching, what they're doing is collecting all of the notes on their end. I actually tell them sleep on it for a couple of nights and then come back to me. And they come back to me with a pretty long list usually. All right. I go through the entire list. I discuss it with them and then we start our work. I send it back to them. I say, here's revision number 1. Now, based on all of the notes they gave me and we retouched everything and we corrected everything, the second round should only be a couple of notes, if that. Knowing that they have 2 rounds, they also have permission to come back and say, okay, you know, we did forget also, can you please add some graphic to the bottom left corner, and could you maybe whiten her teeth a tiny bit more, like 5% more? Awesome. Those are now your second round of notes. And the images are now available for delivery if they don't have any additional notes. But my deal memo said, you get 2 rounds of retouching. Anything additional is billed at this much per hour. So if they are having some sort of chaos in their offices, It has nothing to do with my studio. But if they're having some sort of chaos in their office and they decide they want to change creative direction, they understand what that is going to cost them, because I have told them that each image is going to be a certain number of hours on average, and this is how much it's going to cost you. They can tell you right then and there, or they can discuss with each other, oh my God, so if we change this picture to, you know, what if we don't want this picture anymore, we want a different picture. Well, Waleed said he's this much per hour for retouching. We are going to end up paying a certain amount of money extra. So they have to make a decision if that is worth it on their end or not. Why this is so important is I don't have to be involved in the bad guy conversation. I don't have to be the bad guy and say, no, you can't do that. That's going to cost you more, because that makes it personal. So I sit back in my studio and I let them have the conversation, but I have given them all of the tools they need to make the best decision. And there you go, taking another sip. That is what I mean by educating your clients. It's a lot of work up front, but if you were to explain to them, hey, I'm very clear with my clients, I like to tell you about everything, a lot of these situations won't even happen, but I'd rather you know ahead of time and how we can remedy each possibility. Most clients are going to appreciate it. If they don't appreciate that, chances are they probably are not going to be the right client for you regardless. All right. So understand that that is also part of the equation, but it's also a great filter. It's a qualifier to see if they are a good client to work with. Point number two, I hope you guys got that. And this is an episode you want to bookmark or save. It's really, really been a huge hill in my career to climb, and this took years to really come to this conclusion, because it was all trial and error until I figured out what was right and what was wrong, okay? So point number two, another possibility is the client may not respect your work. Eek, that sounds awful, right? It's not like they're saying, Waleed, you're trash, I don't respect you. They're not saying that at all. What they're saying is, I've seen it being done so easily. Isn't there a fun little app you guys use to color everything and edit? Or don't you just show up with a camera? They don't understand the amount of work that it takes to create a beautiful image. And again, that falls on my shoulders and on your shoulders. If you are creative, that falls on your shoulders, is to educate your client on everything that it takes for you to create your beautiful images. And at the same time, if you are a client listening in, it would be on your shoulders to educate your creatives on everything that you need for your brand. So it's all about communication, and that's the only way we move forward and everybody wins. So let me get right back to, they don't know about the process. So one way that I fix this is, once we have negotiated and we've come to an agreement, I talk to them and we either meet at their office, my studio, or coffee or drinks or dinner, whatever feels natural and right. I talk to them about their clients. So let's just pretend you are the client right now and you are Guess Jeans. All right. So this is how I would speak with Guess Jeans. So this is amazing. The jeans are amazing, et cetera, et cetera. I have a few options for models right off the bat that we can approach, but we can also do a casting with this agency and this agency and give you all of those through an FTP transfer, and you can help in the casting selections. You know, Monday we'll do Wilhelmina. Tuesday we'll do LA Models. And Wednesday we'll do a casting with IMG. On Thursday we will negotiate with whichever talent we have, and on Friday we will sign the contract, and I will deal with the agency back and forth, and I'll negotiate on behalf of your brand. All right, I just told them, just by casting the model, that is 1 week's of work. Dealing with agencies, negotiating, having casting calls, booking studios, you name it, you know, dealing with the contract, negotiating their rates, and what step I'm doing it. how they're going to be able to be involved in the process through online video or what have you, or they can come visit the set. You see, I am giving them all of this information. I'm basically information, I'm so tacky to say, but information vomiting on them of everything it takes to put their project together. Now, people, I find out, really, really love hearing how you are going to put in extra care for their brand. They love it. This is their baby. This is absolutely their baby, their album package, or their wedding pictures, or their commercial lookbook, or whatever you are photographing for. This is their baby. They want to know that you are going to treat it with the utmost care. So they love to hear the stuff. And then I talk about locations and how I'm going to hire my production coordinator and which producer I'm bringing on, because they're going to be incredible. And we're going to talk about location scouting, and that's a 1 or 2 day thing, and how we'll negotiate it. And then which wardrobe stylist I'll bring on board, because he or she is amazing, because da 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 da. So when they find out how much work goes into it, they're sitting and they're listening and they're very happy that I'm talking this much about their brand. But on the back end, I'm also educating them on how much work and thought I put into each photograph. Make sense? So there are ways that you could educate your client without making them feel like they're sitting in a lecture hall and they're in trouble. It's just about the finesse, you know, of doing it the right way. So that was point number two. If they don't respect your work, it's because you have not told them how much work goes into what you create. You are an artist. You are a thoughtful artist. You are an impactful artist. You are not a button pusher, which is what some believe we do. We push a button, run it through an app, and they have a picture. There are people that do that, but I'm not interested in even educating, you know, that type of photography, right? It's sure, it's photography, but it's not, it's as much photography, and I always say this, as putting a plate in the microwave and calling yourself a chef. Yeah, you're cooking, but you ain't no chef. Let's be real, right? So I encourage you guys to be more involved with your clients and build your businesses, because there is a great income that you can make from this. Photography, videography, filmmaking, all of that, right? Point number three, and then we will wrap it up. Point number three is really important. It's the unfortunate, rare circumstance that will happen to every one of us at least once in our career. It's already happened to me, and that is the client divorce. That is letting them go before they let you go. And I'm not saying that in a sabotaging way, like some people end personal relationships so they don't get dumped. It's not about ego. It is about preserving the situation, the job, and the big picture of things. All right. So what do I mean by that? Let's get real personal about it. I had a music video that I directed. I won't say the artist's name or the label, but don't bother looking, because it's not even on my website. All right. I directed the video based on the mood board that the record label was ecstatic about. The record label was ecstatic on set. I'm surprised there wasn't a Waleed parade, okay? Because what they said to me was, you are brilliant. Oh my God, I can't wait to work with you with many of our other artists. Oh my God, this and oh my God, that. When it came time to editing, it was a 180. They had time to sleep on it, and they thought, you know, we want to show this video in color. And I said, but we shot for black and white. You know, I mean, that changes the entire outfit. It didn't matter what she wore. She wore two neutral colors because it was going to be black and white. You know, we did the makeup for black and white. It doesn't show in color that way. She'll look like just a clown. We can't have it this way. The lighting is for black and white. Our color temperatures was not something that we put a lot of resources into, because this was going to be black and white. You saw it on set as black and white. On the monitors, I made sure that everyone saw it in black and white. The mood board was black and white. The treatment said it's black and white. I pretty much woke up that morning, the first thing I said was black or white, right? So let's now analyzed this, and the label still said, no, we want it in color, and they wanted a few other changes. Changes that would no longer align themselves with my creative vision. And my agency was not on my side. My agency wasn't really helping me. So it just became a really toxic situation. And at some point, I had to make a decision on my own without my agency and tell everybody together, hey guys, what I had bid on was this concept. Everybody saw it. Everybody co-signed on it. Everyone approved it. The checks went through. The entire record label, everything was approved based on the original scope of the job. Now that we are in post, and everyone was ecstatic and still on the same page on the day of the shoot. Now that we're in editing, we're doing something completely outside the scope of the work. I've tried to explain why this is not something that is positive to me in any way. I have tried to remedy this. Unfortunately, there is a disconnect. And this is the conversation I had with them. Unfortunately, there is a disconnect. And for the greater good of the artist and the song, I think it's better at this point, if there isn't going to be a resolution that we agree on, that I possibly refer to you guys, other freelancers who could manage this project. Because at this point, it is not something that I am interested in doing anymore. It's gone outside of the job. It's outside of my creative vision. I have to protect my integrity and I have to protect the overall vision, which is what the artist approved. Now it's a 180. I can't do this anymore, but I want to help you guys solve this issue. And I think that you will be in better hands if we bring another editor in. I was a director and the editor, by the way. If we bring an editor in who would be willing to work with these possible scenarios. And let's do that with my blessings. I will give you referrals and I will be available on CC on all the emails so I can always chime in and give my notes if you need. So I will be holding your hand through the whole transaction. Now, having this conversation was difficult. It was stressful, but at the same time, it was very helpful for me, for the artist, for the video, for the overall project, and the record label, and my agency, which I'm no longer with, but separate reasons. You have to sometimes divorce the client, and that doesn't mean you're bad. That doesn't mean they're bad. That just means it wasn't the right marriage. And unfortunately, sometimes it's an option or a possibility. And that role belongs to the creatives to make sure that you protect your branding also. All right. So what I didn't want to do was deliver lukewarm material. And I felt it was going in that direction. And I did everything I could to resolve it, to remedy it. It wasn't going. The label wasn't bending. And I realized at some point, I'm going to have to let it go. If you love something, you're going to have to release it. And I love the art. I love the work that we did on set, but I wasn't in love with the new creative direction and I had to let it go. The key thing is the record label remembered that I came in not as someone who abandoned the project. And they may have seen it that way for a little bit, but I came in as someone that offered solutions, that was willing to help, that was willing to stand and walk with them through the entire voyage and give up the ego and say, I think somebody might be better for this job than me. Let me help you find them because I believe in your project. And that's how it was. So sometimes we have to divorce a client, unfortunately. And that doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't make them a bad person. That's something I really want you guys to know is that as artists, we are hypersensitive. So it's very important that you realize it has nothing to do with you. A lot of times there's other factors you don't control, but what I want you to be able to control is the final product, your branding, your artistic vision. Of course, you're going to have to bend. Of course, you're going to have to negotiate. But if you have done a checklist in your head of every possible scenario you can do to fix this, and if it still doesn't work out, it's time to divorce the client. And divorce doesn't have to be wild and salacious. It doesn't have to be anything terrible, but just an awkward conversation at first and two honest parties saying this isn't working. How can we make this work better for everybody? All right. So I hope that you guys learned a whole bunch. I actually re-recorded this podcast twice because I felt like I was leaving some information out and I want you guys to have as much as possible. So we are probably at the longest podcast I've ever had. We will probably end at 26 minutes. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for taking notes. Thank you for subscribing to my channel. Whether you're listening on Google Play or iPod or your Apple Podcasts or Spotify or, you know, Breaker, whatever this is, Anchor FM, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. My whole agenda now is to help photographers achieve the success that I have had, and there's enough room for all of us to win. All right. So I would love to see you guys on my Instagram account, and that is How to Photograph. Just one word on Instagram, at How to Photograph. And then I have links in the description of this podcast that talk to you about my private Facebook group, my Instagram, and my YouTube channel, which you guys should be following because there's a lot of great content there too. All right. Thank you for listening to all of that. My name is Waleed Azami, and I will talk to you guys next time.